Come on in. Take a seat. Take a seat. Aren't we blessed with a beautiful morning? I'd like to start this morning with a couple of verses from Psalm 31, beginning with verse 1. You don't need to look it up. I'll just read it. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. And I think about it, so many of us go through so many things where we lose friends and loved ones, where we face medical issues, where we face financial issues, where we have an enemy trying to trap and hurt us. And yet we know that the Lord is our refuge. That is our God. And we don't have to wonder where is it he is. His address doesn't change. You know, we know his phone number. We know his email address, his Twitter handle.
He's got his text message right there.
Yes, exactly. A little more than 144 characters, but he's there. He's there for us. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are our refuge in times of trouble, Lord, that you don't move and that you're always there when we come to you. And as Jonathan says, you sent us a text message to remind us that you're always there for us. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, I ask that each one of us would bring our storm to you, Lord. Because you say that your burden is light. We thank you, Lord. Now I ask that you would help each of us praise you, knowing that you are our refuge. It is the God of refuge, the God who is our fortress that we worship this morning. And I ask this in the name of our blessed Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand and sing about God's amazing grace that is sufficient for all that we're going through in life. That he breaks the power of sin and darkness.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. That I would be set you've done for me.
All right, let's join the angels and the saints as we sing praise to our King, for he is worthy of all power and wisdom and glory and honor. Let's sing this together. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy. Oh, 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 this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen, amen. It's amazing grace, amen.
Amen.
Let's continue to worship our great God.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great. Heart will sing, how great is our God.
One more time, name above all names.
Name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. wonder thy power throughout the universe display. And sings my sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled.
Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. We thank you so much for bearing our burden gladly on the cross, for taking away our sin, Lord. Your majesty and your grace just humbles us, Lord. We humble ourselves before you. We confess our need for you. And Lord, we ask that you would meet us here in our worship, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Runs deep, My song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand up on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Yeah.
Time, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
My one defense.
My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Amen. Lord, we need you this morning. Would you meet us here? Would you speak to us, Lord? Would you teach us through your word? Would you counsel us through your Holy Spirit? We thank you for your amazing grace, for your unfailing love for each one of us here. And may we grow in our understanding and knowledge of you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Righteousness. Good save.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, how I need you.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Glad you are here and that you made it despite whatever spiritual obstacle stood in your way. You have come to hear the voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord. And that's what I pray for. All right, a couple things before we get started, just because I want to make sure that everybody gets their stuff. Jonathan, before I forget, this is for you, sir. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so a couple other things really quickly. Chantel, is she here? Okay. All right, is Delena here? Wow. Okay, Talina's not here. Oh, and then Laura's not here this week either because she's up in Tampa with her husband. Okay, is there anybody here? Fantastic. Thank you, Lord. I am here, absolutely. All right, Jorge, before I forget, if you'll wear it proudly, Team Jesus shirt. And it's the athletic fit perfect for you. Why was that fun? All right. I found a couple more of these. I see you guys. I saw Joe wearing his Team Jesus shirt. I saw Chris wearing his Team Jesus shirt. Now I have a couple extra here. Now listen, I'm willing to give this to you. I've got an extra large and a double X. If anyone would like one of these Team Jesus shirt, and you'll wear it. You got it. For you, coming your way. Sorry, guys, we're just more like a family, so just sit for a second. Here's your double X. Okay, what size?
Extra large, sir.
Extra large. You going to wear it?
Oh, yeah.
You going to live it?
Pride.
Yours.
Awesome.
Okay, anybody else? I do have an extra large. The double or the? All right. Get thee behind me. All right, I've got one left. Let's see what size it is. And it's just a gift in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, it's a double X. So I'm going to, if nobody wants to claim it, I'll just, anybody, coming your way, Ma? Okay, all right. In Jesus' name. Okay, and then, sorry, a couple other things really quickly. Josh and Amanda Panda.
Not here.
Okay, holy schmollies. All right. Delina, okay, that's not there. Okay, I think that's enough for right this second. Okay. Well, let's go through announcements and let's get into the Word of God. And so, announcements this morning will be a little brief, but that's okay. As long as this thing will turn on. All right, a couple quick things. We're going to cover that next week. All right. So if you'd like to join us, just a couple things this week. We'll go through some more announcements next week. But we'd love to have you join us Sunday morning for prayer, because as we're going to talk about today, our battle is not against flesh and blood, against people, against the world. Our battle is against powers and principalities in heavenly places. And so we want to be in prayer. We want to be a people of prayer. So we want to invite you to come Sunday mornings at about 9 a.m., 9:15. Gary leads that here. For the group, for the prayer team, and we want to just be in spiritual warfare and in prayer for the saints, for the community, for one another, and we would invite you to come here. Just please, please, please join us Sunday mornings. Also, first and third Tuesdays for the men's Bible study and dinner here at Home Fellowship. Also, youth group here every Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30. And then our last parenting course will be this Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m., and then some folks have asked me what we're going to do next. Are we going to go back and go get into the Old Testament, into Kings again, or Experiencing God course, or Peacemaker series? And the answer is, I don't know. So just pray and ask the Lord to speak that we would do what he wants to do next. All right, so let's get into the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and the kind-hearted Chris will deliver one to you. Just keep your hand up there. All right. George, are you ready with the video?
Would you believe?
No.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What were you
going to
do then?
Okay, so just so you guys, you know what, we were just going to go on. And for those of you who don't know, the little joke was somebody came and last week was just, there was so much spiritual warfare going on. It was crazy. And someone said, that was the best teaching on spiritual warfare I have ever had. And I laughed out loud. I said, are you kidding? That was terrible. She said, you know what? The whole teaching, the whole time, was just one visual illustration from God after another. And I thought, oh, that's a great way to look at it. And so if that video wasn't ready, then we would just continue into the Word of God and everything would be fine. And so, but since you do have that video, last week we were in Daniel chapter 10. Before you start that, last week we were in Daniel chapter 10 and talking about spiritual warfare. And we were talking about this Christian life. It's too easy to think of ourselves as casual cruise ship Christians instead of battle-ready believers. And so we have to remember, we have to put that in our mindsets continually, because the world wants to lull us to sleep. Our flesh wants to say, oh, just take it easy, just rest a little bit. And God is saying, no, 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 the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so God is saying, I want you in that battle, I need you, I want you in that fight. But too many of our churches, too many of us, and sometimes you and I, maybe we got trapped in that too sometimes. We can get caught into that like sort of hipster, casual, oh, I love Jesus. How about you? Let's have a latte. All for Jesus. Peace out. And that's my walk with the Lord. And it's really so much more than that. And so this is kind of a little parody. We love missions. We love missionaries. We're going to be hearing from Laura, who had the pregnancy center drive fundraiser last week. She's going to share next week here with us. And we also had a letter from Peggy and Lester, 37 years on the mission field. They just sent us something about a conference, just to pray for them and to share. So we love missionaries. And we are all missionaries in one sense or another, right? God's given us the Great Commission, that's right. But this is a little parody of how I see, and so don't stone me afterwards, of how I see too many Christians in too many churches today. Okay, so let's just watch this, and it's a little funny parody. It's kind of funny, but kind of sad at the same time. All right, George, roll film.
Hi guys, Quinn and Kylie here. We are so excited to announce our next trip.
It's a mission trip.
Our next mission trip, we are going to serve humbly the scuba instructors here in Aruba.
We are so honored.
So honored. A lot of you guys have asked, why Aruba?
Yeah, we actually came here on our honeymoon.
Yeah, and we were out on the pier having the sunset dinner. I was about to pick up the lobster and dip it in the butter. And we
so
just
good.
Looked at each other and we just felt like God had called us.
For such a time as this. We've had so many God moments while being
not
here.
Believe.
The cabana boys.
Oh, the golf caddy.
Yeah, the parasail guys.
I had a heart-to-heart conversation with the guy I rent the jet skis from.
Babe, I want to hear about that.
So good. When moments like that, we just know that we're here for a purpose.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
We can relate to missionaries all over the world when we say it hasn't been without its share of persecution.
Yeah, like last week we were prepping to do the scuba dive,
yes.
And I was wearing my cross necklace like
tell
I
them,
always do.
Tell them what the instructor said to you.
And the instructor looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Ma'am, you need to take that necklace off."
Take it off.
And I said, "I will not. I will stand for what I believe in."
Get behind me, Satan.
Right, but come to find out, the necklace actually would block the airflow of the mask, so I had to take it off.
It makes it. He was helping you. But
yeah.
At the time, we did feel...
I felt attacked.
Persecuted. Honestly, I feel like a lot of what we're doing down here, babe, is planting seeds. We haven't seen much harvest, but we know that the Lord is at work.
It's kind of like we're a living version of Footprints in the Sand.
Except two sets of footprints have turned into zero. That's where we lay down
the
sunbathing.
Yeah. Like the other day, I was shopping for some supporter gifts for all of you.
So good.
I was looking at these keychains made by real orphans, and I was about to have a moment with the cashier.
Cashier, and you were going to witness to her.
I was going to witness to her, but we had dinner reservations.
Yeah, it was not the right time. But God's timing. Wherever we go, in the shops, at the car dealership, we wear the WWJD bracelets.
I actually lost mine.
Anyway, we just want to ask that you would partner with us and invest with us here in Aruba long term.
Long term, but really for only 3 months, because after that it's rainy season and my hair gets frizzy, so.
Okay, we feel like maybe after the 3 months, God is maybe going to transition us out of Aruba.
Don't spoil it.
And we're going to be witnessing to the wine connoisseurs and vineyard owners of Tuscany.
But that's another video and another outfit.
Yeah, totally
I haven't even
different.
Finished my Pinterest board.
We need to be here and now. I talked with our accountant. All we need is $10,000 a month.
Basically what we're saying is that we want to ask you for prayer.
Well, pray that God would ask you to give us your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to give. We just ask, if you think about us in prayer after you've given, just ask that we would daily pick up our cross.
Yeah. Oh, room service.
You know what I'm saying? Just, it's
not... No, I said extra caviar. No, fix that. Where's the Prosecco? What am I supposed to drink?
Cut this part.
No, get out.
You know, the sad thing is that, and I say this super respectfully, because everybody's growing, right? So we can't be too judgmental and prideful and look down, but honestly, that's where I see a lot of Christians today. And it's miles wide, but only about an inch deep. And that's breaking the Lord's heart, and I hope it breaks your heart too, and I hope, and it doesn't get you all prideful to look down upon others, but instead that you would say, "Oh Lord, call me in. Let me work for you. Let me battle for you. Let me serve you, Lord. Let me be reminded of what you've called me to do, who you've called me to be." That's what he's calling you and I to serve, to work. We're not here as cruise ship Christians. We want to be battle-ready believers in Jesus Christ. You guys saw these quotes, but A.W. Tozer, you saw this last week. "The idea that this world is a playground instead of a bad battleground has been accepted in practice by the vast majority of Christians." And Warren Wiersbe said this, "Sooner or later, every believer discovers the real Christian life is a battleground, not a playground, and that he faces an enemy that's much stronger than he is apart from the Lord." And the thing that bothers me is most of the time it's not the sooner, it's the later. I'm glad they discover it. But God wants to instruct you and I on this now and to be ready. This is kind of where we left off in Daniel chapter 10 when we saw the spiritual warfare that was going on in Daniel's day where he prayed and immediately an angel was dispatched with the answer. And if you remember the story as we're going through the book of Daniel, that there was a battle in the heavenly realms and the Lord almost pulled back the curtain to show Daniel and to show you and I what goes on with spiritual warfare. And that the prince of Persia battled him, and he had to call Michael the archangel. And then, so for 21 days, Daniel prayed. And so this battle is going on. And so this battle is also going on all around you and all around me. There's a battle right now, even for your mind. Some of you are thinking, you know, all this spiritual warfare stuff, you know, this whatever. And you know what's kind of odd to me? That in the world, you could go to Stanford. Oh, it's great to see you. You could go to, is it Stanford? MIT? And I don't know if they still had it. I looked it up about a year ago. You could get a degree in was it paranormal psychology? A doctorate. Now, everybody would look at them, and you can hunt ghosts, and which are demons. That's in a whole other story. And everybody will look at you, and you see you're super smart. Now, here I am, a dumb Christian, talking about spiritual warfare, and people look at me like I have two heads. Hey, let me tell you something. I know what I'm talking about before you ever did, because I have the book. I've read it. I know what it says. I know my God. And so do you. You have a more sure word of prophecy, and he has something to tell us. And so as we get into this next section here, you know, we're talking about spiritual warfare. You know, a lot of people will ask, you know, well, what's the Bible say about it? And this is the two biggest things I see in kind of Christianity. And one is that there's a vast majority of groups that don't take spiritual warfare seriously. Oh, they know of the Lord and what it says, but they just don't take God seriously. They don't take this whole spiritual battle that's going on. Good to see you, Jay. Seriously. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I know, God, Satan, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Let's go on with my life. And that is so foolish. But then there's another group of Christians in Christendom that will see a demon behind everything that goes wrong in their life and try to blame it on Satan. You know, whatever they do, choices, sinful choices they're making, they don't take responsibility. Oh, that's a demon. This is a demon. And so that's the true. That's the truth. And so, and the key to really being successful in this Christian life is to realize that there's a balance here. To ignore the spiritual realm is honestly foolish. And to go beyond what God says in his word, you know, is also just as foolish. And so we want to be balanced in that. The Apostle Paul told Christians to wage a war against the sin in themselves, right? Sometimes we'll have a lustful thought. Sometimes we'll be unforgiving. Sometimes we'll be selfish. Isn't that true? Right? And the Lord says that we have to battle against that. We have to fight against that. Put that off. You know, Romans 6, you can read that for homework for tonight. But Ephesians chapter 6 also says that there's an enemy that you have, and he hates you, and he's trying to trip you up. He's trying to stop up your ears. He's trying to harden your heart. He's trying to move you away from him. That's the truth. You see, there's two plans for your life. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And it's to know him and to make him known and to serve him. He has a plan to give you a hope and a future. And see, the enemy has a plan for you. And that's to kill and steal and destroy your life and your heart and your mind. And so this is what we're going to talk about in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 to 20 is the invisible battle. Now, I don't know if you may or may not remember this, but there was a song, a little kid song. Okay, I have a love-hate relationship with this song. Okay, do you remember this? It's, you know, let me see. Not that Jesus loves me one. This one. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, thank you. You remember. Okay, but I love it and it's cute and it's, but you know what? When I think about it, okay, I'm just going to read it to you. I can't help but sing it. I'm not a good singer, so just, okay. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy. Then what in the world are you doing? Hey, I mean, that's what I was, you know, I mean, I get what it's trying to say, you know, but we're all called to be in this battle. There's no exceptions. If you're a born-again Christian, then you are already in the battle. You have to realize that. And sometimes if we've been walking with the Lord for a while, our mind is kind of numbed to some of that. So 2 Timothy verse 2:4 says, for those who are born-again Christians who have given their heart and their lives over to Jesus Christ, not go to church, not just watch a Christian movie, those who have given their lives to Jesus. God, I'm yours. I know I'm a sinner. I know you say, I want to give up my heart and my life. I want to know you and serve you all my days of my life. If you have given your heart and life to Jesus, something supernatural has come into you. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he wants you focused on him. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one serving as a soldier. That's how he talks about. Paul talks about fighting as a guy. I kind of like that, you know, fighting, wrestling as a soldier. I don't know how the girls feel about that. But anyway, but it says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And who's our commanding officer? Yes. So that doesn't mean I can't enjoy a movie, does it? It doesn't mean I can't sit and relax with my family. Even in the military, they'll have nights where they'll have a movie night or they'll have fellowship and get together. They'll have fun as well, right? But they're not pursuing that. Wouldn't that be dumb in Afghanistan if they were just out skipping around and having rocks, you know, maybe playing volleyball out instead of being in the battle? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? And so let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll find my Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. Give me a second to get there myself. In the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. My poor Bible is falling apart. But because of his word, because of his Holy Spirit, because of Jesus, I am not falling apart. Okay, so we are in the book of Ephesians. And so in the book of Ephesians, God is telling his people, hey, if you're saved, you're sanctified, you're loved, you're empowered. And he goes through, he's saying, this is how I want you to live. And he tells us how we're to be Christian parents and how we're to be Christian bosses and employees and moms, dads, kids. He goes through the whole. And then we get to this part in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And he starts with finally. And it's almost like the Apostle Paul is saying, okay, guys, I've written you this letter. I'm writing you Christians. I want you to really pay attention now. Finally, after I've said all this stuff, I want you to listen. I want to bring you in. I want you to hear this. So, yeah, the Lord told me not to say that. Okay. So, finally. In fact, why don't we just read verse 10? How about 10 to 13? Who has the microphone? Anywhere? Okay, would somebody mind reading Ephesians chapter 6? And we'll just start off to read 10 to 13. Thanks, Erica.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand.
Yeah. So he goes finally, the first in verse 10, finally, he says to you and I, be strong. strong. And that word in Greek is just one word. It's endunamao. And what it means is, let me get ahead of myself. When it says be strong, a lot of us can think, okay, well, I go to church, so here I just need to be strong. Now, God tells us to be a lot of things, doesn't he? He tells us to be loving, doesn't he? Right? The Bible says, by all this, people will know you're my disciples if you love one another. What else does God tell us to be as a Christian? What is it?
Hospitable.
Be hospitable? Absolutely. What else? Be forgiving? Good. What else?
Humble.
Be compassionate? Good. What? Be humble? Right? What else?
Long-suffering.
Good. What else? All those things. Yes, all those things. Now listen, I want to tell you something, and maybe this is a little bit of a confession, but sometimes I don't feel very compassionate. But you're a Christian. Yeah. You're a pastor. Yeah. But I'm a person. I'm human. Sometimes I don't feel very forgiving. I wasn't the one that really, I was wronged. I don't feel very forgiving. I don't feel very humble. I don't feel these things. And so sometimes I look at a scripture like this and I think, well, be strong. Well, sometimes I don't feel very strong. In fact, sometimes I feel kind of weak. And so I love words, and this word, be strong, this one word in the Greek, endunamao, it means, finally, be strong, it means to empower. It means to enable. It means to receive strength. It means to make strong. So the idea of us being strong in our own power is completely the wrong thinking. If you try to be strong and be forgiving and be loving and all these things, you're going to be very, very tired. You're going to be very, very exasperated. You're going to be very, very depressed, because it's not going to be too long before you find out that you can't always be that. So this word here is telling us that even though the Bible will say some cool stuff, like Deuteronomy 31:6 here up on the screen, I want you to be strong and courageous. Awesome. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard, right? Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Fantastic. But the key is, and it's really not even a suggestion. God's saying, he said this to Joshua, but I think he would say this to us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And here's the thing. For the Lord your God will be with you for wherever you go. Joshua 1:9 says, the Lord your God will be with you. You see, when the Bible talks about us being strong, even like as it's saying in this Ephesians verse here, he wants us to be strong in the Lord. And in his mighty power. It's not in our own power. It's not in our own strength. Be strong is receiving that strength in Jesus from Jesus. That's where the power comes. And if you see, maybe that's you today. Maybe you're just trying to go through this church life and trying to go through these things yourself. And you're just spinning your wheels. And it's becoming miserable for you. You feel almost hopeless. Maybe you're not tapping into the power source. Because it's his strength that we need. Does that make sense, guys? Do you know how many of you guys have cell phones? Raise your hands. Okay, vast majority. Okay, you can tell I'm older. All right, so vast majority. I love my cell phone. It's a pretty much amazing thing, right? At any time, I can communicate. Hey, Gary had to leave early today and his family. But you know what? I could call him right now on the phone and talk to him miles away, right like that. I could get information downloaded to me, videos. I could text any of you, multiple people, right now. It is incredibly handy, incredibly powerful device. But can I tell you something? If I don't plug that baby in every single night, or maybe I can stretch it two nights, right? Let me tell you what that expensive, amazing, powerful piece of equipment is good for. Nothing. It's good for a doorstop. And that's only because I have a little rubber thing around it to protect it when I drop it. So we have to understand that we have to be plugged into the Lord. He says this in Psalm 31, 34. If you want to be powerful, if you want to be strong as a Christian, and he wants you, he commands you to do it. And any time God gives you a command, he gives you the power to obey it. Does that make sense? So when God gives you something in his word, when he tells you something, he will empower you to do it. So if he says, be strong, then you have to say, okay, Lord, I don't feel strong right now. I feel weak. I feel empty. Lord, will you fill me with your power right now? Lord, by your grace, I am standing on your word, Lord. Will you fill me right now and help me to do what you want me to do? Psalm 31, 34 says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And I see a hand raised here. Soph, do you mind bringing that microphone, being our delivery girl? Thank you, sweetheart. Speedy delivery. Thanks.
He will equip us, but you know, we can get in the way of that.
What do you mean?
And so, well, if we don't choose to trust that and walk in that and surrender to it, then we can get in the way and we're not going to be strong. We're not going to feel strong and we can, you know, mess that up.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. Oh yeah, we don't. We can handle it on our own, can't we? I got it from here. I'll take care of it. I believe the whole Bible thing. We're good. Hey, I'm strong. I'm tough. I'm whatever, right? I got it together. You know what? That might work for you for a while, but there's going to come a time when you don't have it together. And so I would encourage you to be strong and take heart and hope in the Lord. That's where that power is going to come from. That's where that strength is going to come from. It's from him. Excuse me. Exodus 15:2 says, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And so, honestly, when we're talking about spiritual battles and spiritual attacks, listen, it's the Lord. He's my strength. He's my defender. You know, when Satan comes knocking at the door, I send Jesus to answer it. I used to be like, well, I can take it on. I'm super Christian. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a little thing that God likes to call pride, which is something he hates, which is something if you're a Christian, he'll just dismantle that wall for you and humble you. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he wants to fill you with his grace and mercy. And he'll humble you in a good way. And you'll realize, oh, man, I need you. But listen, if you don't have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you don't have that defense. I'm just being blunt honest with you. You really don't have that. And so that's where the power comes from. I want to, Psalm 18:32 says, it is God who arms me with strength, and he keeps my way secure. See, it's not you. You can't do it. It has to be the Lord working in and through you. Whenever I hear that, I think of Mark. It's one of his signature verses. I even say it, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, if you ever heard Mark, that's what he says. But that's exactly what it is. In fact, you know what? I thought I had this slide, but I'm not seeing it. Oh, maybe the Lord purposely put it later. Oh, should I do it now? No. Okay, I'll wait. So it says, be strong in the Lord. Okay? So that's where our strength comes from. That's where our defense comes from. And then it says, also in his mighty power. Now listen, you might even be saying, I see too many Christians and they're not living in a way that honors God. And you know what I'd have to say to you right there? Absolutely. I've sat with a lot of people who said, I've seen too many hypocrites in my life. And you know what? So have I. But don't let a hypocrite get in between you and the living God. Don't let a hypocrite get in between you and the power source. That's going to sustain your life. Don't let that get in the way. I remember being at a conference, and it was a terrible conference, actually. This guy was telling me how I didn't need this teacher up in front of all these other quote-unquote Christians. He was saying how you really can't trust the scriptures. That's not what you can't really. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I was a little babe in Christ. And I thought, that's not right. And here's the reason why. And the Lord, I opened my Bible and I didn't even know what to say. Here's this guy with all these doctorate degrees telling me not to trust in the Lord and not to trust in his word. Hello? And God gave me this by the Holy Spirit, just opened it up. There it was. First time I had ever read it at the time, I was a young believer. And it's Matthew 22:29. And Jesus replied, your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. Amen. And can I ask you something? If you're floundering here, if you're floundering in life, listen, can I just humbly say, not like all arrogant-like, maybe you don't know the scriptures as well as you think. And when it says no, that word isn't just like, I've got all the books of the Bible memorized, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That means know it in your heart. God said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I won't sin against you. See, that's knowing the scriptures. And then that's holding on to it. When time gets tough, when the rubber meets the road, when you feel like I can't do anything, you can hold on and you can trust him and his word. And you can trust that he'll empower you. Your mistake is you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. He has plenty of power for you and he has plenty of power for me. To live this Christian life. And don't let your mind tell you anything other. Don't let the enemy whisper anything other. That power is for everyone. Every single one who has trusted in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's there for you. Oh, well, it's just for you, Pastor Darren. No, you know what? We're all in this together. There's no big super spiritual supermen and women. We're all together in this, right? I trust to have to choose to trust in the Lord every day, every minute, every situation, just like you do. You just have to do it. So, would you bring the mic up here? Thanks, sweetie.
So how do I tap into the power?
Oh, Mark, I know you wouldn't be asking this question if you didn't have an answer. So go ahead.
Well, every time we come to church, and you've kind of danced around it today, but I'm just going to say it straight up. It's called Read Your Bible. Hmm. That's where the answer is. That's how to experience God with him. And that word know is an experiential knowledge. Like you said, it's not a head knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge, and if you're not trusting him and walking with him, you cannot experience him.
Okay, good. You got something else to say? Just a little bit more to that, but go ahead.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think also read your Bible with other people. I was leading a Bible study for some girls on campus, and it was sparked out of the conversation of how do you get saved, and a couple of the girls were confused about that, and we started reading the Bible, and I've studied this passage many times that I was going over with them, but I decided not to come in with my regular notes and studies and just see what the Holy Spirit would teach me again. And God spoke to me through what he was saying to these girls. And I had gone in teaching them. And, you know, the word doesn't change. It's us that keep changing. And I'm older now than I was the last time I went through that book of the Bible. I'm more experienced in different things. I've had different struggles and trials. But this same word spoke something new to me in my experience, and then also through these girls that I was discipling. So I'm going to pray that now, from now on, when I study the Bible with other people, that God would teach me something, because we're never at a place where we know everything.
Absolutely. That's a good place to be. And can I tell you something? You tapped in on something that's really important. It's not just reading the Bible. Listen, I was teaching the teens at the school. I said, listen, when you're reading the scriptures, every single time you pray and you ask the Lord to speak to you, the Bible says it's Him, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches you all things. That's what it says in John. So you ask Him to speak to you and teach you. I was walking, and you have the words of eternal life. I didn't talk about it because I was hoping to get to when we talk about the sword in a few verses, which I don't know if we're going to make it. Okay, so we might be doing spiritual warfare one more week and talking about the armor of God. But, you know, I was talking with one of my sons last night at about 10, and we were talking about the Word of God. And it's so important. You have the words of eternal life. You know, and I get it. Well, sometimes, you know, it can be, it's hard for me to understand. Sometimes it's boring. But listen, if you understand that God has given this to you, that the Bible says heaven and earth are going to pass away. I said, son, look, this is at nighttime. Look around you. You see all this stuff out here? All these buildings, all these trees? It's all going to burn. Anything, think about that. Anything you've studied. We've got folks in here with doctorates. We've got folks in here that have learned skills, right? You've learned all this stuff. Can I just be honest? That's all going to burn away. The only thing that's not going to burn away is the Lord's word. Heaven and earth will disappear, but God's word will never disappear. So you taking that and hiding it in your heart is something that no one, nothing will ever be able to take from you. That's something that you will get to keep forever, and that's awesome. Realize the preciousness of His Word, the power of His Word, and the presence of His Word in your life. If you look at it as that, then let me tell you, any time you spend on anything else just kind of pales in comparison. Holy schmolies! That's what He wants to put inside of you. It's His gift to you. It's not just some words on a page. It's life. See, the Bible in Hebrews, processing, standing by, hold on. Hebrews 4:12 says the Bible is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, bones and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of his heart. What it says is the Bible is the only book that's going to read you as you read it, just like Robbie was saying. If you'll let it, if you'll let God open your heart, you're going to see stuff you never saw before. Oh, we're in trouble. I haven't even made it out of verse 1. Okay, let's move on. But this is what God says. Okay, so if you're a Christian, well, you don't understand, Pastor Darren. You don't understand it, how hard it is for me and how much baggage I have. Let me tell you, I got lots of baggage. I didn't get saved till I was about 30. So I've been saved for about a year now. But I didn't get saved. I got a lot of baggage. Let me tell you, there are folks right here. I don't even know. Lord's telling me not to say it. So, okay. But there are folks here that have gone through stuff that would blow your mind. Yet now that they're a believer, they're here. And this is what Ephesians 1:19-20 says. When you become a believer, God's Holy Spirit comes within you and empowers you. And he says, I pray that you'll be able to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. And this is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. In other words, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. What? Are you kidding me? If you're a born-again Christian? Listen, don't tell me I can't. If you're a born-again Christian, do not tell me that. It might be hard for you. It may be more difficult for you. You may have extra shackles or bondage or in certain areas, but you can with Jesus. Listen, 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. I'm sick of talk. Oh, don't tell me you're a Christian. Listen, I'm glad you're going to wear that Jesus shirt. Wonderful. But don't wear the shirt if you're not going to choose to live the life, because you're a witness for him. The kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. Not that you never stumble, right? Because we all do. Sometimes you fall, but you get back up in Jesus' name. You don't let the enemy condemn you. All your sins were paid for, past, present, and future, if you put your faith and hope in him. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Darren, I'm weak. I'm not like this guy or this girl, or, you know, we always point at somebody else who's more strong in the Lord, right? But let me tell you something. Jesus said this to Paul, and he'll say this to me, and he says it to you. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. That power I have for you is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. When you are weak, God is strong. I can't do this. I can't teach. I can't go to the Bible study. I can't choose to do the right thing here. I can't tell the truth here. Yes, you can. You absolutely can. When you're weak, he'll be made strong. The Bible says this, and I love it, in John chapter 15, 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Jesus saying this. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in him, you will bear much fruit. The fruit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. But he says, apart from me, you can do a couple of things. Right? You can do some things, right? What does it say? Well, does that mean, Stanley, you can't drive your dump truck? You can't do anything in the spirit without him. Now, I can eat a bowl of cereal. Well, we can get a theological. He holds all things together, Colossians says. So theologically, without Jesus, everything would go apart. So, but the point that I'm trying to make is without his strength, without his empowerment, you can do nothing for the kingdom of God. Anything you're doing is just. But yet on the other side of the same coin, he says this in Philippians, I can do a couple of things. Yeah, don't tell me, I know you're afraid. That feeling is real. But you're here anyway. I know you feel like you can't get that thought life under control, but you can, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's a little visual using incredible artistic ability. Can't. Can. What I hear in my head, I am not kidding you, at least 100 times a day, is I can't do it. But see, that's the battlefield, is in your mind in most cases. The Bible talks about taking captive every thought and making it obedient to Christ. See, through Christ, I can do all things because he strengthens me by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I know it might be easier for you to communicate than your friend. Or it might be easier for you to shake that whatever. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And don't let the enemy or even yourself say anything different. If yourself is telling you I can't, I don't put my faith in that. I put my faith in his word. See, and that's where the power comes from. He says I can. And by faith, when I choose to trust in him, in his word, he empowers me. And then all of a sudden I think, hey, I did it! Wow, this is awesome! Praise the Lord! All those other Christians should learn what I'm learning. Wow, this is fantastic! And then the Lord gives me another situation the next day. And you know what I'm thinking? I can't. And he reminds me again, yes, you can. Really quickly, we need to learn who we are in Christ. And this isn't walking with Jesus and getting power from him isn't something that, if you're not born again, I don't even know how to phrase this, Lord, so help bring these thoughts into control, bring confusion under control. Knowing who you are in Christ will overcome any of that selfish thinking, any of that knucklehead thinking that we all have. You know what I'm saying? All that condemnation. It will overcome all of that for you. It will overcome any temptation. I want you to really quick go to Acts chapter 19. And we can't just kind of pick and choose when we want to use Jesus. Somebody said something really great. Their heart was in the right spot as you're turning to Acts 19. And as I find where I set my Bible. Fantastic. Okay. Somebody said, you know, Pastor Darren, at the school, man, I've been listening to you and I watch when you pray for people, you know, and you always pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And I was listening to you do that all the time. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started doing that. And I started praying. And I started praying in Jesus' name. And let me tell you, I don't know what was going on, but there was power in the name of Jesus. There was power when I called on Jesus. And I was like, that's exactly right. Now, you can't just do it for the without the relational aspect of it. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Exactly.
You can't just only do it to get from God. I hope I'm making myself clear. If I'm not, somebody jump in and can. But in Acts chapter 19, there's a situation where, as I'm turning there, the seven sons of Sceva, these guys in Ephesus here. Yeah. There were some Jewish people that were going, wow, there's power in this name Jesus, right? Hey, so I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and live the way I want to live, and I'll just call on Jesus when I want, right? And so it says in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, it says that there were some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits, and they were invoking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who were demon-possessed. Hey, look at that. There was demons. Huh, the Bible said. Anyway, that's another story. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. Verse 15 says, one day, they were doing that, and the evil spirit answered them. And it says, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And it says, and then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, all seven of them, and overpowered them. And if you've ever dealt with any demonic spirits, they are people that are possessed by demons. They are usually unbelievably strong. And it says they jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house bleeding. And this became so well known, and it goes on to say that the name of Jesus was held in honor. The people in Ephesus brought their occultic stuff. They brought their magic books, and they burned it. They had a big old bonfire. That's all right. But verse 15, if you have this in your Bible, who are you? I'd highlight that. Because when the enemy's working, he said, hey, you're calling on the name of Jesus. I know who Jesus is. And I know who about Paul. But who are you? If somebody were to ask you that question, what would you answer? Now, here's what I heard, a couple answers right there. Now, I ask that question sometimes to folks. And they'll say, if I were to ask Joe, who are you? Or if I would say Hezekiah, I'll use my son. I'm Hezekiah Shettelbauer. No, that's not who you are. That's the name you were given. Okay, Lord, we just pray for safety in Jesus' name. If I said, you know, who are you? Well, I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a police officer. I'm a fireman. No, that's what you do. See, who are you? And Elijah, stand up. I don't know if you can read this here, but he's got a little name tag. He does it every week. And it says, hello, my name is Child of the One True King. And you know what? That's who I am. Is that who you are? Do you know who you are? I am in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of the one true King. And so no weapon formed against me is ultimately going to prosper. Because I just call on my dad. I call on my Savior Jesus who lives to intercede for me. Now that doesn't mean I never experience problems or trials. I do. But I know who to call. And I know who I am. Do you know who you are? Have you made that commitment to Him? The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So we are cruising right along. So, well, that was one verse. Nine more to go. So, we'll be out of here by about five. I hope you guys have made... I'm going to ask you to give a gospel presentation in a minute, so be ready. The Bible says be ready in season and out of season. But... we're going to talk more about what this wrestling looks like, about these demonic forces of evil. Next week, hopefully, we'll get to a few more verses. But there is some awesome, amazing stuff in here. What God has for you in His Word. If you'll just open your heart, open your ears, and hold on. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to know who you are. And He wants you to be a child of the one true King. Listen, the entire world is going one direction. It's the wrong direction. The Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And then Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, narrow is the way to eternal life. And He said this. This kind of scares me and only a few find it. What? I thought everybody went to heaven. Only a few find it. But the Bible also says you will seek Him and find Him if you seek Him with all your heart. You see, His eyes are ranging to and fro, looking for a man or woman whose heart's right before Him. To strengthen and to empower him. And He wants to do that, or her, to you. He wants to work in and through you. And in and through your life. So that people can look at you and say, hey, she doesn't go the world's way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed. Don't fit into the mold that the world's trying to put you in. You go God's way. The world's going on the broad road. You find the way, the truth, and the life. Next week, we're going to talk about not only about the spiritual battle that goes around us in verse 12, but also God... what to do to put on that full armor of God. And I have all these really neat, cool illustrations here that are here for absolutely nothing, apparently, today, that we'll have to wait till next week. But I wanted Jonathan, I want you to grab a mic, and I don't know if you want to use that one or that one, but if you would just, Gary's not here, but if you wouldn't mind just giving a gospel invitation and sure. then just praying and dismissing us
sure.
with God's blessing, will I'd do. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yep, as Pastor Darren was talking about, there's the way of the world and there's the way of the word. And we see that really clearly in Psalm 1 where it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night." And then he's like a tree planted by streams of water. You know, his bears fruit in its season and his leaf does not wither. So who wants to be like a tree that is strongly planted by streams of water? Don't we all want that? We want to be stable. Like all of us right now could go push on this big oak tree right here and would it move? It would not move. All of us could push on it and it would not move. It is strong, rooted firmly. We are to be rooted in God's word, rooted in Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you guys to root yourselves as into Christ as the foundation of your life. I want to invite you guys to do that, to really make God's word your foundation, to really root yourself in God's word, because then you will be like that tree planted by streams of water. And the streams of water is where it gets the nourishment from. We get our nourishment for life through Christ, through his word, through his Holy Spirit. And that's where true life comes from. As Pastor Darren said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." So let's pray. Let's all close our eyes and pray that God would work in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, some of us need to be planted this morning. Some of us need to be planted into your word, planted by those streams of water that gives nourishment, Lord. We may have heard the Bible and heard the word preached in church, but we've never really planted ourselves there and planted ourselves by that to get that nourishment, Lord. And would you do that this morning, Lord? Would you even transplant us? If we're in rocky soil, if we're in the soil that does not help us grow, Lord, would you plant us in this fertile soil where we can draw from you and grow in you? And we thank you for this church that is also a fertile place where we can hear from your word and hear from you, Lord. So I pray that you'd do that both corporately and in our individual hearts, Lord, that we would make your word the delight of our life, that we would see the value in that, see the value in who you are and what you've done for us, Lord, and make you number one priority in our life. God, we do confess our sin. We ask that you would help us not to walk any longer in the ways of the world, but to walk in the way of the word, Lord. And so we confess those sins that that we hold on to, and we ask that you would take them from us, Lord. And Lord, just wash us white as snow, make us clean, God, as we accept your gift of forgiveness on the cross, Lord, and especially eternal life with you, Lord, that we would delight in you and being with you for all eternity. And Lord, just pray that you would bless each person here this morning as we go out into the world, Lord, that we'd be a light, Lord, that we'd be sharing your truth in a world that needs to hear truth, Lord, that we'd be sharing hope in a world that needs your hope more than ever before. So God, just empower us in your power, that it would really be Christ in us that people would see. Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.